You're listening to the Talking Spirit Anime Cast. My name is Andrew, and I'm joined here with Chris.
Yo.
And today's episode is a discussional podcast episode where we talk about the news that seems important to us, dive into the news, tell you everything that's going on, because it should be important to you, because it's important to us. And then hopefully, I'm just going to say hopefully, it's probably not going to happen. We dive into the community and answer some questions from the community members, because we have not done a discussional podcast for pretty much a month and a half now.
It seems like it's been a while, and yet it seems like it hasn't been that long ago.
And a lot technically has happened, so it's not like I'm trying to dig up old news just for the sake of it. There's stuff that, you know, I kind of want to talk about that's happened over the last month and a half that, you know, we want to give our perspective on. Plus, as we kind of mentioned before, most people don't watch or look at the news for anime. A lot of people have stated that they just listen to our discussionals to get any idea what the hell's going on in anime. Our previews and our discussional podcasts are the only way you technically should keep up on what's going on in anime, because those two areas cover everything.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's important to us.
And then the music. And you only know what good music there is because of us.
And the reviews, because what's the best reviews when we review it.
Yeah, because we are amazing.
And the first impressions. That's where you get your idea of what's the best animes to watch in the first impressions.
Except for one show. It's the greatest one ever.
That's all right.
We just suck it.
Don't mock it.
We're not mocking it.
It sounded very mocking.
No. I'm actually acknowledging it is the greatest.
It's got its good stuff in it, so it's fine. It's fine. Probably still watch it. It's all right. Anyways, we're from atakuspirit.com website. You can go there for all of our anime, new and old, great community forum links, top social media links on the right side, and all that good stuff. And like I said, we're doing our discussionals where we just dive through the news, let you know what's going on in the anime world, give our perspective on things, and then say goodbye. So anything outside of anime or anything in general that you want to talk about? It's been a long time, so if there's anything, typically you're kind of sprinkling throughout the other podcasts. We're finally all the way caught up.
Yes.
So that's good. Somebody was mentioning, I love all these podcast episodes, but don't kill yourself coming back. And it's like, well, we're done. We're good.
No, now we finally caught up this week. And Andrew popped on something that I was not expecting this month. And I was like, whoa, hey, this show again. Yay!
Oh, Fairy Tail. I figured probably with that Fairy Tail one, because I haven't got a chance to post the last Fairy Cast that we did. So I'll probably hopefully do that sometime this week. I got a review for 80 Police that I have to post as well that I was supposed to do this week. But yeah, I'll probably post the Fairy Cast one sometime this week. And I'm thinking probably for the next Fairy Cast, it'll probably be that segment, because it's a large segment between the two arcs, because we kind of stopped like right after that, the last gate, whatever thing ended.
Mm-hmm.
And technically it went on for another like 20 episodes before the next big arc starts.
All right.
So I might just have us do that segment.
Okay.
So for those that listen to our Fairy Cast, I don't know whatever episode that is. So when between what we ended with and what the next big arc starts, you'll know that's what we're watching next. So if you want to keep along with us and keep doing that. So that's a lot of fun. But yeah, it's been a long time. Plus you got the game coming here soon.
And that's been
pretty hype.
Huh?
You got the Fairy Tail game coming here soon. So that's pretty hype.
I can't wait.
They showed another trailer showing the
I was actually Magnolia, thinking about that the other day. I was playing something and I happened to think of that and I was like, oh, I really, really want to play that game already.
Yeah. Probably one of their games with the Atelier games or something. One of those, probably.
Was I?
I don't know.
I doubt
it. I'm assuming because the same studio or same.
No, I think it was, maybe it was Fairy Tail the other day.
It was because I was playing Resident Evil Remake. That reminded you of it.
I doubt it.
want to play Fairy Tail right now.
The only other game is Zelda, and I seriously doubt that was what made me think of it.
Doubt it.
I think it was it was just that when you turned on Fairy Tail, I went, man, I really want to play that game. No, seriously, we're getting really, really close to the point in which I'm actually going to be getting into new Fairy Tail that I haven't watched yet, and I'm so excited.
Yeah, well, I still never know when you're on new stuff.
I know
or
that
not,
I
because
seen
when the old lady showed up, I was like, oh, I know who that is, and you're like, who? And I'm like, you know who I'm talking about, kind of.
No,
thing.
I it wasn't until later when that kind of parting in the carriage. Let's just say that when somebody was in the carriage and the old lady was there, I remembered I had seen that episode. So,
oh,
yeah.
Gotcha.
But I do know.
No, don't do it. Oh,
well,
gosh.
Well, don't forget, it's been nearly 3 years since I watched Fairy Tale. Yeah, yeah. So it's
been
a long time.
I'm just joking about the scene itself. The whole no, don't do it. Don't get out of the carriage thing. Oh, I know who that is. Cry. I thought it was kind of cool.
It was. It was a great bunch of scenes.
But yeah, I went on big vacation. I got Resident Evil 2 Remake. Finally got to play that. Just like drilled through it when I was down there. Even played it again when I came back here just to play the other side first, which is pretty cool because you could technically play the game four different ways. And I really enjoyed that one. I'm glad it turned out as good as it did.
Good.
Three, I'm not so sure about just because we technically had an entire nemesis in this one. So it's like, why are we doing this? I was frustrated by the fact they put a nemesis, Mr. X, wherever he is, in this one, because it's like, you're going to make three. Why'd you do that? But they're claiming it's going to be different. So we'll see. I also picked up on Void Crossing. So Andrew's playing another gotcha game. Pretty much giving up on my record.
I'm trying so hard not to get that one because Andrew is
I make sure
really,
to turn the sound effects up.
Really
so
teasing me with it.
It's very, very, very free to play friendly. Like the only play, I think the only thing that people pay into is if you want to get like the, which is the part, the only part that I don't like is the, if you, it's like 1400 paid quartz or something like that, quartz, gems or what, MIGO, I think it's called MIGO, just to like do this quote unquote character raising project, and then it gives you like a ton of rewards and hues, and it's like that's the only part where I'm like, that's kind of dirty. But the rest of it, like you can raise up ranks of characters you roll, they give you free characters all the time that are epics and high rank characters, so it's very friendly. I only enjoy it, of course, because it's got Toradora characters, it's got Strike the Blood characters, Sword Art Online characters, even Valkyria Chronicles, which is kind of weird, Railgun, like just tons of IPs that are in there.
The thing
Shauna,
that sucks,
of course, Shauna.
If I do this switch over, I would probably dump Fate Go.
I don't know why you haven't. You keep saying you will.
I am so tired of Fate Go. I really am. And it's frustrating because I had this kind of stuck point where I'm literally right now I'm actually kind of playing again because the Grail thing just really irritated me when we got to talking about the
that you might have missed out on Grails.
I might have missed a Grail or two, and that irritated the snot out of me.
He's like, you got so many 100s already. How'd you do that?
And as I was counting them up, I wasn't that far off. I maybe missed one or two, maybe three. And it was mostly because I think it was two.
I think we figured two.
Seems like that. And it, really what it was is I was using them on lower level characters to get them up to level 90 instead of going all the way to 100. But it still seemed like a lot that Andrew had to have had to get as many as he had. So
I think I've only used 10, right? Yeah, I've only used 10. No, I've used 15.
15 is what we figured.
Jean Alter, Ariska Gill, and Squirtoria.
Right.
The best. I only raised John because, like, I realized, man, I use her all the time. She just destroys everything. Why wouldn't I grail her?
Yeah, I was grailing. I grailed Kuro. I grailed Anne. It was the two, the Lolly and the Mary Reed. I grailed her up to 90. And
not Anne Bonnie. He wouldn't grail Anne Bonnie. No. She's too big. You gotta get the bunny.
Elizabeth, I think I grailed up to 90, because I needed a lancer, and she was the lolliest of the batch. And
more lolly than Anna.
Yeah,
of course, Medusa Lily.
No, she wasn't out when I grailed her.
Oh, it sucks that you can't like go take.
Yeah, give. Exactly. That's my thinking.
Take from this one, give to this one. Like, not make it permanent kind of thing, but I guess that's the whole point of making it so rare and precious. But no, like, I think you just have to wait for the reruns for those events and just get them there.
Yeah.
They just give us crystallized lores, so. If they haven't done the rerun already, then you're just screwed.
Yeah.
They're just screwed.
Which I don't think. I do know that there's one in the race across the world or something like that that they had that I think I missed one there.
Yeah, that'll be this year. They'll do it. They'll do it again. I'm just looking forward to, let's see, Scotty, of course, because quick buffs is awesome. I'm not necessarily that big fan of Scotty herself. Of course, all the swimsuits. And that's it. There isn't really a huge amount of stuff this year that's really like, oh my gosh, I have to get that. So it's that's good. That's good for the bank. But yeah, I didn't get what's her face, the assassin of Apocrypha. I've thrown everything I have at her. I'm like, okay, I'm not getting that one. So I have to wait for the Karen no Kyokai, which is the more frustrating one because I think that's never got a rerun, or they just got another rerun of it. So that's going to be like one of those servants.
Well, I already
but it's
know,
only 4 stars, so it's a lot easier to get.
I already know that I will be investing into that the company.
The Bird Girl?
For the Bird Girl.
You got to get your Tama.
I will be getting my Tama.
Yeah, that's the one I do want. But I think that's next year, isn't it?
Yes, that's early next year. We figured it was next year sometime.
Yeah. And Shuten Doji has also, once again, just seems to hate me.
Yeah.
I poured everything into her, too.
It looks like she hates me, too. So.
every time she comes up, I mean, I go, because I'm not so doing funny. It again. And I do it, and I don't get her.
She's one of the few that I do actually save up for, and I end up missing out on her every time she comes up. So, yeah, I think she hates the house. I think she doesn't like dogs. That's what it is.
Okay, there you go. And it's not that I think that she's a great, like, skill set character.
She's
it's
totally just Aoyuki. Voice actress.
Aoyuki, that's all that is. And it's totally
she sells
Aoyuki.
That character too.
Yeah. She's got that great voice for that character. So it's like, I want it so bad, but she don't want to come to my Chaldea, as they say. So yeah, that's I think that's pretty much it. We also watched the last of the quote unquote last of Zoku Owari Monogatari, so I totally forgot to put together the outline for that, so we're not recording that this weekend, but we will talk about that one as well. I was half and half on it. I really wasn't sure if they're going to pull it together, and they technically did, but spoilers for that. We'll wait, I guess. And that's it. I guess that's it. Anything else?
Not really. I started Zelda.
Stole it from me?
Stole it from you.
Played a crap ton of Pokemon while I was down there too, so that was fun.
I kept going back to Pokemon. I've got my Pokemon up to just under 50, and then I'll go and do the next gym. Yes, I'm.
You still haven't finished.
I way out level crap.
I'm glad I got most of the Pokemon from the other brother. Glad I got him Shield. I was like, he's like, which one should I get? I'm like, just get Shield. He's like, why? It doesn't, because you don't have that one. I'm like, well, yeah, because Chris has that one. And I don't know how long Chris going to take before he gets to the end and gets me all the exclusives. So I've invested so that I can get it from him. But that was a lot of fun. We were just sitting there breeding like crazy and did all the Eevee stuff. And he got frustrated by the Eevee thing because he'd raise up an Eevee and it wouldn't evolve properly because something wasn't set right. It was a lot of fun. We had like this time period of like 2 hours with like nothing but Eva, just over and over again in the room, just repeating Eva, 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 Eva as they were raising up their affinity and everything like that, and then trying to breed them. So that was fun. Ah, the game is a time sink though. My gosh, and there's more coming.
Yes, there is.
Looking forward to that. I like the outfits and stuff for that one. We'll probably talk more about that.
Let me finish up Zelda. It shouldn't take me long to do that one. I've already gotten through 3 of the dungeons, and I only really sunk maybe 3 or 4 hours in it. It's such a fast game. I didn't realize how fast I'm blasting through that game. But take into consideration, I do.
They were trying to make it faithful, and those old games technically weren't that long. Once you know
they
what
weren't
to do.
That long, and plus, if you know how to do it, you're
that's what I mean.
Just once slamming through it,
once you know what you're doing, those old games just weren't well, and they kept it faithful. So
it is nice. It is nice to the nostalgia factor. I mean, I'm actually surprised. The only thing that I don't like Link's sprite for whatever daggum reason.
That was a big selling point for most people when it first released the trailer.
Really?
So.
That's actually...
That and the blur, which I still don't
the
like.
Blur the blur doesn't bother me.
I hated that in RP... Or was it 3D Heroes? I hated that. And they did the same thing.
The rest of the world, very faithful. I really am enjoying it. I like the aesthetic in general. Just Link. The Link is the only thing that bothers me. I do kind of not care for the new button scheme. And that is such a strange thing. And that's almost a nitpicky thing. Mostly because I do like the fact of how this they worked around the fact that there was only two buttons on the Game Boy.
Right.
And with the extra buttons, they went ahead and put distinct things on those buttons. So, like, they actually put, instead of actually having to equip the Pegasus boots, which makes it to where you could charge, you actually automatically have it equipped, and you're just using your L trigger button to do the charge, which was something that you actually had to use on a mapped button along with the sword if you wanted to run and cut something down or run and jump.
Right, you were constantly swapping between them in the menus.
Right, which in some respects is nice because it makes it to where it's easier. You don't have to deal with all the button mapping, but at the same time, it's kind of takes away from it a little bit, but hey, that's nitpicking at that point.
Yep. And I guess the only other thing is I started up Final Fantasy 14 Realm Reborn again. So we started playing that again last night again. So yay. Fumbling around in dungeons, trying to remember all of your buttons. It's always fun. Tank Stance plays. Dang it, I forgot. I thought they got rid of that. There's no more shield. Oh, so why the hell do they have a button for it? That was fun. Always getting people killed by not putting up your tank stance. Yeah. All right, well, I guess we should finally get into it. Again, jump into these news, Pete's, and let you guys know what's going on. First one we have is first teaser release for Sing Yesterday for Me. This is a series that is being done by Dokokobo, which we talked about this a little bit in our, I don't know where it was. I think it was in our preview for last season, or the first impression, something like that. We were mentioning the fact that, like, next season is, like, stupid busy, and we were kind of freaking out by the fact that it looked like Dokokobo was doing, like, a full-on drama, which is very rare for them, because they're usually going just for cute girls doing cute things, which they absolutely excel at. But it'll be cool to finally see them doing a full-on drama. Different art style to it. Looks visually beautiful, just because Dokokobo, for some reason, pulls together some great visuals. Japanese title is Yesterday o Otate, which is based off of manga, of course. And the character designs, you might, if you look at this, it looks a little bit familiar. The guy that did Tada Never Falls in Love is doing the character designs, which is Junichiro Taniguchi. And it's going to be running for 12 episodes, plus 6 more via stream only. So they're going to do a 12-episode broadcast on television. Of course, we don't really care about that because we're going to get it all streamed anyways. But in Japan, they're going to have 6 additional episodes after that that will be streamed for everybody. So hopefully whoever gets the 12 episodes over here to stream, hopefully they get all of it. And so we can watch all of it because it looks great.
It does look freaking gorgeous.
This is going to be on the Noom Animation block. I thought that was Noi Tamina when I first seen it. No, Noom Animation. It's going to be running on April 4th, so it's going to be in spring. And the synopsis is, the coming-of-age story follows a university graduate named Rikuo, who has not been able to find a permanent employment after college, a mysterious woman named Haru, who has a pet crow, and Rikuo's former university classmate, Shinako. So, cool stuff.
Yes.
Excited?
Number one, it being from Dokokobo is exciting. The fact that it looks as gorgeous as it does, I mean, nothing. I cannot stress enough how bad I want to watch this show. It looks freaking amazing.
The backgrounds and environments look absolutely. They're going for that kind of photorealistic, very theatrical movie kind of polish given to it, which is fantastic. It's funny because I at first was like, hey, that kind of looks like some character designs from Erased. And then yeah, I've seen more of it. I'm like, it kind of looks, okay, no, Tada Never Falls in Love. I wonder if Junichiro did Erased as well. I figured they would mention it in this article. I guess it's probably just the girl. She looks very like the girl from Erased, so.
And this maybe is that's a, where I'm this is it. A key animator. Key animator. So he's definitely gonna be all over the animation.
I wonder if they have this in Japanese because it's Bokudachi something for Erased. It's just gotta be that character. I also did Nozaki-kun character designs. Let's see here. Love Mucho. Great stuff there. Magia Record. Doing that as well. All over the place. Prison school. So yeah, good stuff there. It looks really fantastic. I'm already was excited for it back when we were talking about it before. We'll probably gush about more in the preview for next season, which, like I've mentioned before, is looking absolutely insane to the point that there's any multi-course shows. I'm like, I don't even know if I want to bother because I'm going to be super busy next season anyways. So, yeah, that's great. Hopefully, I don't know, we'll see if Num Animation block turns into something like a Noitamina blocks going forward. I couldn't find a breakdown on it, but I'll probably look into them later to find out why that's such a, if that's going to be another art block going forward, or if it's kind of focused on a certain type of stuff, maybe coming of age stuff, more adult stuff. But this one looks more like an adult story, which is cool too. Let's see, Gigi no Kitaro, the anime is finally coming to an end in March. It's been running for a total of 2 years, but for all those that are currently watching it, know that I'm sorry, but it's gonna end soon. But yeah, that was one that I keep wanting to go back to because I did enjoy it.
I wish I had stuck with it. I really do. It just bites that I got so far behind.
Yeah, it was. There was nothing wrong with it. That's the frustrating thing. There was technically nothing wrong with it. It's just I think it was in a season that was really heavy, and so we got kind of sidetracked away from it. But it was one of those ones that I did technically like all the little stories they were doing on it. So. Unfortunate, but everything has to come to an end eventually. I'm surprised it went as long as it was. That was one that we kept looking at and going, oh, wait, crap, that one's on still. Awesome. Awesome stuff. Let's see here. Speaking of Noitamina, the director that is known for doing Sword Art Online and Erased is currently set to be doing a show for the Noitamina block in April, so I guess look forward to something. I don't know. They haven't said if it's going to be an original series or if there's a particular show that he is going to be directing. But it is odd that that would be announced before the show itself. So it kind of gives me a thought that it might be an original series. But we always like Noitamina Block series, besides a couple here and there. So it'll be excited to see what he can pull together. Because despite people's hatred for the ending, I love to Erase to Death. We enjoy Sword Art Online. So I'll be excited to see what he ends up having going forward.
Uchitama is this season. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And Keiji, Fugo Keiji, Balance Unlimited is next. And Promised Neverland 2 is after that.
Yeah, Promised Neverland's in October.
Right, so Fugo Keiji is next. That's by Cloverworks.
So unless they have two shows on one block, I guess it would be Fugo Keiji, Balance Unlimited.
It's two guys, and that's two voice actors that they're talking about, so.
Tomohito, it says right there. So yeah, Fugo Keiji, Balance Unlimited, he will be directing it. And that should be an original series, because I don't see any source materials on this page, so.
It said it was done, written by an original. Yeah, they're.
I'm saying it doesn't have source material in the thing. They usually do that, I guess. I don't know. Cloverworks going to be doing it, and written by Yasutaka Tsutsui. Yeah, we'll have to look into that, spice all it together when we do our first impressions, or not first impressions, our preview, but that'll give you a taste on it. I don't have any story content on this page, so hopefully by then we'll have at least a synopsis for it. Cool stuff. Good research in there, Chris. Getting down to the bottom of information. Done?
Yes.
Okay. Digimon Adventures is coming back.
Yay!
It's going to be coming back as a new TV anime reboot, which is airing in April. They say the new anime takes place in 2020 and will feature an all-new story centering on Taichi, when he was in his fifth year in elementary school, his partner, Agumon. The story begins in Tokyo when a large-scale network malfunction occurs. Taichi is preparing his weekend summer camping trip when an incident happens. Taichi's mother and his younger sister, Hikari, get stuck on a train and won't stop moving, and Taichi heads up to Shibuya in order to help them. However, on his way there, he encounters a strange phenomenon and sweeps him into the digital world, along with the other Digi-Destin.
This is one of those that I wonder if we would enjoy it now as much as we did back then.
Doubt it, because it's probably going to be very geared towards kids. And I don't
exactly
know. See, that's the thing, because
I know that
technically
that,
with like a lot of Western stuff, whenever they reboot stuff like this, they usually try to put in a, you know, humor and stuff that adults would kind of get interested right. in. Whereas in Japan, typically when something is kind of rebooted, they keep it to like the faithful to the yeah. original, and they're going after a new kid audience. They're not necessarily trying to do something for the fans that grew up. So right. technically an example, Sailor Moon.
All right.
It was kind of like, okay, yeah, they rebooted it, but it's still faithful to the original. It's not really technically going for an adult audience, even though there's technically stuff in there that's pretty grown up esque. Violence and stuff like that, but that's Japan for you. So yeah, I don't know. We'll see. It's cool though. If for the big fans of it, that probably would love to see it rebooted. That's always a cool thing. I don't technically remember it looking that great back then, so
right.
It could use a reboot if mm-hmm. they actually do a good job on it this time around. Probably won't. If they're gearing it for kids, they're probably not going to try to make it fantastical or better than it originally was. But there you go. Encouragement to Climb is getting a new project. That's about all we know. So look forward to that. Hopefully we get more anime, because that's a show that me and Chris have enjoyed in the past. Very cutesy, very similar to Laid Back Camp. Very laid back and just watch cute girls having fun. This last season was a little bit heavy on the drama. For some reason, the two cute girls decided to be not cute to each other for a while. And we thought that they were going to have a huge falling out. It was like hyper, like stressful, because they don't need to be upset at each other.
It was not as Iyashike as it normally is.
Because we were traumatized. We didn't want them to break up. They were the bestest as friends. But no, it's just a cute little show, so take a gander at it if you have not already. It's a short, so it's not huge investment if you want to check it out. But yeah. Love those characters. Sad news, and Chris pretty much technically alluded to it a minute ago, unless I cut it out because it might have been too low on volume. I don't know. The Promised Neverland is coming back in October, so it wasn't the spring or summer, something closer than that time frame where we're kind of looking forward to, because technically it should have aired this season because it was last winter that the first part started. So, but we'll have to wait a little bit longer. October, fall 2020 is finally when The Promised Neverland will come back. So, excited.
I'm excited for you.
That's about all I was expecting. Unless you're like, yeah, technically I want to get back into it. So, something else I want to get back into, World Trigger. That one's coming back.
I really excited. Need to go back to that.
I didn't like it at all.
I know you
this
didn't.
This was the three-mouth guy.
Right. Well, that doesn't bother me.
It bothered the hell out of me.
I know it did.
That was like my entire review for, I don't know what I did, a review or first impressions. I was like, hey, this show, the stupid three-mouth guy all the time.
It's one of those that... With all the shonens, I kind of like to keep at least a rough idea of what's going on in it. And this is one of those that kind of slipped through the cracks, mostly because it didn't catch our interest at the time. And it was one of those that kind of went on our list of shame, honestly. So
I wouldn't go that far, but okay.
Well, we did get kind of a bit of flack for letting that one go.
Did we?
Yeah, we did.
I missed that one.
That was a long time ago.
Long time ago.
Yeah.
Like a walking meme emote face guy. We'll see. I don't know. That technically went on for two seasons before, so this will be technically, I guess, the third season. But man, 2015. That was like right when we were starting up the big Otaku Spirit podcast and everything. Brand change. Good stuff there. be excited if you're a World Trigger fan. I'm so happy for you. Moving on to Funimation news, they have hired two new executives to their management team. The first one is Suihara Asa, who will be overseeing content investment, acquisitions, partnership across multiple areas, including streaming, home entertainment, and licensing. He is, I guess for people listening to this, is well known for helping establish Aniplex of America offices back in 2005. See here, we also have Kelly Yale Roberts, I guess that's how you pronounce that. Apologies. Will be in a newly created role. She will be overseeing the strategy and execution of all projects and technologies. She will also be in charge of user experience. So hopefully she can fix the stupid Apple TV app that I despise with all burning passion. Nothing? Nothing. I just hate every time I select a show, it goes into the menu again. It's like, I don't need the sidebar menu every time I select a show. I'm already in that pane. Don't move me out of it. It's like clicking on a link somewhere in a website, and suddenly all the menus up top come down, and like, you need to see these. It's like, no, I don't want to go somewhere else. I'm going to here. Anyways, come on, Roberts. You got this. Now, this kind of goes along with everything we've been talking about for, like, the last, 2 years now? All these people coming in, as long as they fix Funimation. That's all we're asking for. We don't want Funimation to fail. We want them to get better. Technically, here soon, we're going to be talking about something that's going to take them back down a little bit. But this is good. Keep bringing them up. Bring people from the outside, because there's obviously something going on inside that needs to be fixed. And if they can do it, all the power to them. Roberts previously worked in product and technology for Discovery Communications and started her career as an engineer in CNET Network. So there you go. We'll see. We'll see if they can do something.
They hired four executives.
Yeah, we talked about the other ones.
Ah.
A while back. So. Yep. An ongoing trilogy or saga on the Otaku Spirit anime cast. Moving on to fun stuff that Funimation wouldn't touch with a 50-foot pole. Saki the Succubus Hungers Tonight manga is ending on January 24th. So for all those who are currently reading it, because it does have a publishing over in the West by Seven Seas and their Ghost Ship label, know that it is eventually going to come to the end. Saki-chan is a beautiful young woman and just a little naive. She may seem harmless as she wanders the streets, but beware. She is a brand new succubus who thrives on the lust of men. She just is not very good at it yet. When she finds herself in the opportunity to move in with a 30-something man who never slept with a woman before, she takes it just like she'll take him. Or eventually, this sweet and sexy comedy about a... they're talking about his virginity, I'm guessing. This sweet and sexy comedy about Nova's sex demon and her virgin partner will leave you satisfied, but always hunger for more.
I absolutely have to read this.
Immediately, my mind goes to that other show about the succubus that, sprays it out instead of drinks blood. That was a vampire.
That was a vampire.
I got, vibes of that going on there.
But, yeah. Oh my gosh, why can't I love that shit. That's...
Oh. Vampire...
She was a... Yeah, she anime. Was like anti-vampire or something like that.
Comedy. She always overflowed.
It was Chibi Vampire was the
Chibi
manga.
Vampire, yeah.
What happened? Karen! Karen-chan!
Oh, you're talking about her name. I gotcha. Okay. So yeah, I have to might check that out. Thanks, Seven Seas. All right, moving forward, we have Shoji Kawamori has been appointed as Chief Creative Officer of Small Worlds Theme Park. This is an indoor theme park featuring miniatures of settings, including Sailor Moon and Evangelion. It's going to be opening in April 25th in the Tokyo's Ariake.
How cool is that?
So, it looks so awesome. I think I've seen stuff on this. but I'd never actually seen the videos, and they have like a whole bunch of videos available now of like the entire opening sequence of Evangelion, like the car driving and everything, going to the cliff, showing all the town as it raises up as she's kind of telling Shinji about what he's protecting, and it just looks freaking insane. They have the whole Evangelion like being taken out of the restraints and over to the elevator and shooting up, and it's all done like really small scale. So really, really cool stuff. I would love to go actually watch, look at this. They have some other stuff, like they have, you know, planes taking off and rockets that they've created as little miniatures. It just looks absolutely incredible. Kind of reminds me of the old days where our dad had a little miniature set for trains and stuff and all the little miniature stuff that went with it. So, yeah.
That's awesome. I love it.
Hope eventually could be able to check something like that out. I don't know how long it, hopefully it stays open. So eventually when I get down to Japan, I can check it out. That'd be awesome. So cool stuff. Glad to hear he's got something cool like that going on, and hope to see more stuff coming out of it. Moving on, tons and tons of Netflix news. So let's get this started. First off, they are going to be streaming Pokemon Mewtwo Strikes Back Evolution film on February 27th. So if you don't know, this is the 3D CGI remake of Pokemon movies. So cool stuff there if you like Pokemon and wanted to check out that CG movie that they did. Let's see here. We have Netflix streams Studio Ghibli films. So apparently they're coming back with Studio Ghibli films on Netflix. So I'll be excited for that. If you don't live in US, Canada, or Japan. Because obvious licensing issues there, Disney and stuff like that, so unfortunate, but that is what it is. But cool for everybody outside of that area, check out.
Are they on Disney Plus?
I don't know. I know HBO has announced they're going to be doing streaming for it on HBO Max. I would imagine. I think we talked about it being on Disney. I think who wants to get Disney Plus though?
The vault is wide open.
Oh, there's a post saying why isn't it on here? bunch of videos of people saying it won't be. I guess it's just HBO Max is going to be getting them, so you have to do HBO Max, which I guess technically we have. No, it's not technically HBO Max. I don't know how HBO Max works when you have HBO. I know there's different apps, so I don't know. Maybe I'll unsubscribe from one and get the other. Well, technically, one's free, so I'm not going to unsubscribe from something I get for free. Cool stuff, though. It looks like it's going to start February 1st. They're going to do Castle in the Sky, Totoro, Kiki, Only Yesterday, Poco Rosso, Ocean Waves, and Earthsea. And then March, they're going to go on for Nausicaä, Mononoke, Princess Mononoke, Yamada's Spirited Away, Cat Returns, Arrietta, and Princess Kaguya. And then finally, April 1st, Pompoko, Whisper of the Heart, Howl's Moving Castle, Ponyo, Poppy Hill, Wind Rises, and Marnie was there. So, cool stuff. I'll just buy them on Blu-ray. Screw it. Rather than subscribe to watch those, I'll just buy them. They're like dirt cheap anymore on Blu-ray. So, don't ask me why I haven't gotten them yet. Moving on, we have Netflix adds Dragon Quest Your Story, the CG anime film, on February 13th. So that's actually one that I kind of wanted to watch. I was actually surprised how positive people were about it, even though it was like a full CGI Dragon Quest movie. But apparently did well, so maybe I'll have to check that out. So since it's technically, what, a few days away. So there you go. Excited for that one at all? Have you checked anything on that one? Mm-mm. No? Didn't know it existed?
Nope.
There you go. Chris staying on top of it. He's learning here, too. That's the cool thing, is when we learn, too. Of course, most of the stuff I learned about doing this. So, it helps everybody. Big Beastar news. We have first, Beastar is finally going to air outside of Japan on Netflix on March 13, which technically is about the typical. It usually is a like a double season away. Every time something comes out, we get it like two seasons later. So we'll finally be able to watch that. The only unfortunate thing, kind of unfortunate, is that we already have a season two greenlit. So it's kind of one of those things where I struggle with, like, do I watch the first part or should I just wait till it's all released?
Which always comes up. That ends up being our end up issue, and we end up trying to.
Yeah, sometimes
watch them all.
Works out with like Carol on Tuesday. We did remember to watch it, even though we did wait for the whole thing to release. But some of them kind of get lost in the mix after waiting for the second part to hit. So,
and this is one that we were interested in, but not as hot as we were as Carol on Tuesday, and we almost didn't watch Carol on Tuesday. So,
I was pretty set on watching Carol on Tuesday. Oh. But no, that's definitely one that I've been pretty dang hyped about ever since I seen the video for it. It's just unfortunate that it got Netflixed, which we'll talk about again later. Don't worry. We'll bash Netflix some more later. But yeah, the Beastars manga creator also, Paru Itagaki, has stated that that they are going to be going into their final moments of the manga. So it says is in sight. So, if you were reading the manga, know that it's going to be coming to a conclusion here soon. So, cool stuff. Cool Beastar stuff. Excited for that. I don't know, that might be one of those ones where I'll probably just check out the first few episodes, and if it really grabs me, I'll probably binge the entire first season. But I kind of want to get a taste of it, so I might watch the first few episodes on March when it hits. So, cool stuff. And finally, Netflix will be streaming the One Piece live-action series. So, big fans of One Piece, be excited for the live-action series.
I'm actually in this kind of disbelief of there's a live-action One Piece, and then I'm sitting here scratching the back of my brain trying to remember. I seem to remember seeing something about this a long time ago. So, and it says something about 2017 on the little thing down there. So yeah, that's odd.
The Hollywood adaptation of it.
There was a Hollywood adaptation?
It is the Hollywood live action adaptation of the One Piece manga.
I definitely wouldn't have figured Hollywood did it. How funny.
Yep. I don't remember. I think I've seen clips of it, but.
That's me. I seem to remember seeing something like that, but it's been a long time. It seems like it's been a long time.
Pretty crazy. For those that are fans of Lovely Complex or have been wanting to watch it, it is getting added to the Crunchyroll, or it has been added to the Crunchyroll catalog. I was really excited to see that Gargantua, the Virtuous Planet, episodes 14 and 15 and the OVAs hit Crunchyroll as well, so. That was one of those ones like way back when we watched it and I started hearing about other stuff coming out and they never got it. I was very frustrated because I wanted to watch more of it because I really did enjoy it. So now I can finally
watch
it.
That one was one of those that kind of got dumped off at the last point too.
Dumped off? Yeah.
It seems to be it's been a long time, but it seems like it was kind of dumped off at a bad spot.
I don't know if I can. I don't remember that too much, but I don't know.
Well, it was back when we first started this thing that we watched that one.
That was back when we didn't critique everything for having manga bait and light novel bait stuff at the end of it.
we've always been pretty harsh on that kind of stuff, so.
We got cold to it really quickly after a few years of watching everything and going, damn, everything doesn't end. So, there you go. But I am excited for that. Also excited for Log Horizon, which is getting a third season in October.
Oh my gosh, I gotta get caught up on that show.
You do? I'm like way back in the first
season. Yeah, I'm at least halfway through the second season.
Might have to buy it just to force myself to watch it. That's the only way I can get caught up on these shows is if I buy it, even though I didn't do that for Chihayafuru and I bought that entire series and I haven't
bought that series yet. And we'll have an excuse to watch the entire thing. Yeah.
I want to say that I got pretty late in the second core, because that's been that. Did that have two cores in each season? Do you remember?
No, I don't.
Come on, Chris, you're the Log Horizon expert.
I just remember I got farther than you.
Yeah, 25 each season. So yeah, I only got two cores into it. I think I got like midway through the second core of four cores. So no, I did get in the second season. I don't remember. Something about them doing this one raid dungeon and there was like some pot of gold at the end of it. Or was that before the part where they had the whole NPC thing? Question mark.
No, the NPC thing was what was kind of interesting us, but
no, that's what you were kind of using as like, holy crap, this is doing something insane. But I remember I went back and watched it just to find out what that was, and then I dropped off of it again. But I do remember like this whole raid dungeon thing they were doing, and I got really bored of that really quickly. I think I got around here. So I was on the third core. This must be, it was so far back that we watched this show that it's on the old account with his old account that would have all the point in which he would be at. So that's why we don't know where Chris is at. But I think I was about 13th of the second season. I don't remember. It was somewhere around there they were doing something that I remember was kind of... I was so close, though. But I gotta start over now. It's been too long. Database. I'm totally putting database in the outro for this episode. Or would it be the intro? That was an intro. No, it was an intro. Was an intro?
In something in the database. Database.
Yeah. Yeah, database. That's all you need is database. Whoa. Database. Anyways, super cool. Happy for all Log Horizon fans. I will give it another shot. That was one of those ones that technically had a lot of cool stuff that it was doing. And maybe I'll be a little different to it this time around and be able to enjoy it more. Because there was a lot of characters I did enjoy in it. Let's see here. Moving on. We have...
like his entire harem. He had like the greatest harem ever.
Had a huge harem. and the cat dude. The cat dude.
Nyanta.
Funimation is screening Violet Evergarden 1 Eternity and the Auto Memory Doll anime film in U.S. theaters. So look forward to that. They said early 2020, so hopefully here soon. Excited?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
I'm not. I take it back because we never get them here.
Oh, that just means that Funimation is going
to
do the
physical release. It's going to take longer.
That's the only thing that I'm thinking of. The only thing I'm thinking of is, that's all right. Eventually, I'll get a Blu-ray. And then I go, but it's going to be a Funimation Blu-ray. Again, I go back to those executives that we just talked about. Come on, people. Fix things. The user experience, remember? The user experience. Better Blu-rays. You can do it. I'm doing the hypnotizing hands right now. You just can't see it. I'll send Takagi-san to go hypnotize you. Yeah. Cool stuff, though. I'm glad to see more Kyoto Animation stuff getting recognition, because I want to see them moving forward. Doro Hedoro anime Blu-ray is going to be releasing containing 12 episodes along with 6 bonus OVA episodes in Japan. These bonus episodes are going to have a runtime of 30 minutes, so don't think they're going to be like full-length 6 more episodes, but probably little quirky short stories they can probably throw in there with that one. So cool stuff. Hopefully somebody will pick it up in the West, because that is a Netflix dead show. And technically with the Netflix dead shows that I'm calling them, they don't get physical releases, unfortunately. I think there's only been one exclusive Netflix show that I've seen actually get a physical release, and that was which one was it? Was it Aiko Incarnate? No, Be the Beginning. I think Be the Beginning was the only one that I've seen so far that has gotten a physical release. That sucks.
Yeah.
I hate that they're dying on that stupid platform. One physical releases, damn it. So yeah. Maybe Netflix will get the OVAs. We'll have to see. I would hope that they would have some kind of control over that. So there's not, it's bad for the outside the Japanese audience. So I am looking forward to that one, though. We had a lot of fun with the intro in our music episode. It was a lot of goofy fun watching that intro. Are you ready?
Yes.
Ready for this topic? It's been about a week coming. But yes, Funimation has dropped Interspecies Reviewers after, I think, 3 episodes. So not very far into it. They completely removed it from their platform. They don't even have the old episodes they've already done and completed. They just completely dropped it. They're statement was, after careful consideration, we determined that the series falls outside of the standards, or our standards.
Yeah.
I don't know why they even licensed this show. I honestly don't know. I know that we talked in our first impressions. I was like, I don't even want to watch this show on Funimation, because even like the stupidest things, like, you know, where a character's chest is actually covered by clothes, but there is a little bit of a lump, they still like put censor stickers on it, which makes no sense. Just the weirdest stuff that they were censoring. And even on top of that, it was kind of unwatchable. It's technically the reason for that show is that kind of very vulgar adult comedy. So to censor that doesn't make sense to me. But like I said, it doesn't make sense to me to begin with that Funimation even licenses. So that's the frustrating part as well. I will point out Japanese Tokyo MX has canceled the airing as well in Japan. They claim that the changes in the circumstances in the Tokyo Metropolitan Television, so I'm guessing censorship issues there as well. Maybe they didn't realize it was going to be as bad as it was, and they were doing the same thing Funimation was doing, and then realized it was not going to be even feasible to put on air. Which, again, why do you not see this coming from a mile away?
Yeah, it seems kind of. It's obvious that's what the story is about. I mean, do you not read the synopsis?
Or at least look into the manga a little bit before you license? Yeah. Like, well, how much are you adapting? Let me see. Okay, well, this chapter right here gets pretty crazy, but I guess you can't... I guess that would be asking too much of them with all the shows they're putting on air to look in the source material of everything. But I would think that the creators themselves would be able to say, okay, at some point, we're going to do this chapter, and this one's probably the worst that it has. Like with the ESRB rating and stuff like that, what they do is they ask them to give them, like, the worst. And they say, this game will have something like this at a certain point, and it's probably the worst thing in it. And they go, yeah, that's going to give it this rating. That's technically what I would think they would do with this. Like, hey, they're going to have this partner. Do you want that on your channel at this particular hour? It's important to also to note that all the other channels and blocks are still going to be airing it in Japan. They have KBS Kyoto, Sun TV, BS11, and ATX. ATX has pretty much porn in half the time anyway, so that doesn't surprise me at all. That's usually when the uncensored stuff for a lot of shows that we watch censored airs is on ATX. So, yeah. And I guess the other goofy thing to kind of point out is that I've heard some people mention the fact that, well, Amazon dropped it too. Well, Amazon got it from Funimation. So if Funimation stops doing it, Amazon doesn't have it anymore. So they probably took it down because they knew Funimation was dropping everything altogether. So Anime Lab will be continuing to stream the series in Australia and New Zealand, but they have stated that the upcoming episodes will be delayed due to adjusting source materials, which, again, Anime Lab gets stuff from Funimation, so they probably said, oh, we'll do it ourselves and continue to translate it or whatever. So as long as you're outside of the U.S., I guess you have plenty of options. Well, Australia, New Zealand anyways. It's crazy. Crazy stuff. I don't know. Like I said before, I think this is a big, huge... I think the big, huge fault here is just people not understanding what they're licensing and just trying to grab everything. Because technically this season, Funimation grabbed like half the shows. I was kind of blown away when I was looking through the list and trying to get everything figured out where everything was streaming at. And I realized, well, I guess I'm not canceling my Funimation subscription, unfortunately, because that's where everything's at. Like a good majority, and especially some of our favorite shows this season.
Which is why Andrew is having a really hard time with the Funimation app that we pointed out earlier, because he really, really doesn't like that. Most of the shows are on that.
Really don't like it. Even trying to figure out what's like a new episode's on, it's like I can either do it from the view of all the shows and have to go into them, go to the side menu, come back out of the side menu, see if the new episode is, then go to the next one, go to the side menu, come back out of the side menu to see what the next episode is, or I could do the recently watched view, which gives me shows that I'm not even watching anymore. I don't even know why they're in the list. So yeah, come on, Roberts. Mrs. Roberts, you got this. You got this, Roberts.
Fix you only it, Roberts. Have an entire company to fix.
I'm going to make that a new joke. Just every time I bring up Funimation. Come on, Roberts. the user experience. Come on, Roberts. You got this. You got this. Come on, Roberts. You got this.
Anyways. I'm of two minds. There's a certain level of quality, if you want to call it quality. I don't think that this is a quality issue. Let's just make that point. There is a certain level of, let's say, product. You want a certain type of product that you want to serve to your customers. Now, what you are presenting to the customer and what your customer is asking for is two different animals at this point. If you want to present, I serve anime, if it's a lewd anime, you knew it was a lewd anime, your customers, some of your customers may have specifically signed up for this show. I doubt it, but some of them may have. There's maybe some that actually do want this particular show, and it was just a nice happy bonus to the other shows that you have on your service. Yanking it presents it's censorship, no matter how you look at it.
The frustrating thing is I think they should pass it on to somebody else.
There's that too, because now it's in licensing hell. There, nobody can touch this because you already have the contract, unless you completely and totally undid that contract in some way, shape, or form. It is going to be in licensing hell. So basically, you just gave permission to however many thousands of people who go to your specific site, and you gave them permission to go and pirate. No matter how you look at it. Hate to say that.
Yeah, I went to a store one time. They said, no, you can't have that, sir. And I said, well, that means I can go steal it.
This is the way that people think, though. It's not about whether or not...
different in the internet, I guess.
this is the way that they think. You said, no, you can't have this. How are they going to get it? Their first inclination is to go and pirate it. Because it's there.
Now, I think the important thing is, because I think I mentioned this in passing to Chris at some point, is I think you were listening to a video talking about this whole situation. And even though I have my misgivings with how they handle this, or misgivings with Funimation in general, I don't always go to the worst negative. First of all, contract reasons. People were saying, oh, they broke their contract. I hope they get in deep water with the anime industry for breaking a contract. Technically, they're buying the license to stream it. They don't technically have to stream it. They are buying, unless something in the contract specifically tells them you have to do this, this, or this. Sometimes they say if you want the contract, you have to dub it. If you want the contract, you have to do a physical release. If they just buy the license to stream it and there's nothing in that contract, they said you have to stream the entirety of it, which I'm highly doubting there's anything in there with that. Funimation is no deep water. They get no flack for not having this up. They just wasted a bunch of money. That's all it is.
Yeah.
They're not going to get I doubt they're going to get their money back for any reason whatsoever. They're going to have to pay for it in full. Typically, they have to pay for each episode as it comes along, and they probably contract to do the entire thing, so they're going to have to pay for the entirety of it. There's no way they're going to get any kind of flack for doing this. So that one, I'd put a little bit of a pin on that one and kind of hold your horses on a little bit. The fact that another studio or another TV series, another channel or block over in Japan dropped it, I'm kind of wondering if that was I think one happened before the other. I'm curious if they've
sure
seen that as a way of dropping it. So that one's in 727. Well, these are, of course, when the reportings happened, so...
I wonder if they were getting the censored version from this other channel, and that they were the ones that were doing all the work.
Mm-hmm. I can kind of see that. Now, I don't...
They just got the heads up first, and so they ended up being the ones who took it down first.
But that depends on if the other channels that are still up there, like Sun TV, they could be still doing the censored version. Like I said, I only know ATX as being one that would be do all the content and not really censor much. So I don't know there. I guess the other kind of... I don't really necessarily agree with it. The whole statement was, after careful consideration, we determined that this series falls outside of our standards. We have the utmost respect for our creators, so rather than substantially alter the content, we felt like taking down was the most respectful choice.
And that
many people,
truth be told, that's almost sounds like something that the Japanese would say.
I don't know.
I can't see that as a Funimation version of that statement.
Well, the thing that people were picking on was saying, when I originally read this, I thought it was stating that we have the utmost respect for the creators of the anime itself, and rather than continue to degrade the show by censoring the hell out of it, they probably got to the point where, like, we're gonna have to cut out like an entire segment of this episode because it gets that bad. Yes, it does get that bad. It literally goes straight to hentai. I at some point checked a couple of the uncensored episodes going forward, and I was like, there's no way this could be on regular television. I'm totally blown away that Funimation has it. But then this happened, so I was like, okay, well, I guess they finally hit that breaking point. A lot of people were claiming that they were saying the utmost respect for their creators, Funimation's creators, the writers, the dubbers. I don't see them wording it that way.
Well, what
in order to point that out, because that would be literally them pretty much acting as if that would bring them a lot more flack than them saying that they just respect the animators themselves. So
that's why I was saying I almost see that as a copy and paste. Like, this is what the TV company was saying, and they were like, well, let's just copy and paste what they said.
But yeah, they're not getting it from the TV company. They would be getting it from the animators, because the TV company, I don't think, would be doing the edits on it.
They would have to have been. They would be getting from the producer goes to the TV company. The TV company goes, okay, we have to censor a good chunk of this. Let's censor this, 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 and this. And then they put it on the TV.
But no, they typically have like character voices, animations going over things.
No, that's Funimation.
I'm saying the people that edit it and make the people that make the censored version of it is the studio itself, because they have content they're putting onto the screen to edit it. And then it goes to this block that's going to take the stuff that's censored and this block that's uncensored. I don't see all these different channels, TBS Tokyo and Tokyo MX, all editing themselves and then shipping it off to Funimation's buying the license from the actual production company for this show. They're not buying the license from Tokyo MX.
No, I just was seeing that as a way of getting around the.
Oh yeah, I can see them copying. I guess I can see them copying it, but I don't know. Like I said, the news release was technically later, but they could have seen the fallout coming out over there and jump on that same bandwagon to get out of the contract. I don't know. We don't know. But my whole nutshell comment on this whole situation is, check what the hell you're licensing before you license it. Stop trying to grab every single damn thing off the list every time a season comes around. Make sure what you're buying is something you as a studio wants to do. I'm not saying that Funimation should be forced to do all these episodes and force their voice actors to do pornography and all this kind of stuff. Know what you're getting into, and if you can't handle it, pass it on to somebody else and move on. That's, I guess, my final say.
Well, that goes back to the issue of you're taking a risk here. And yes, you have to have a risk standard. I almost wonder how many seasons ahead are they picking these things out? I mean, you still need to have some kind of, you still have to have some kind of a level of due diligence. You need to know what you're getting into. You're not going to, you either have to guess or take the risk. One or the other. If you know what you're getting into, I mean, you're making an investment. You're hoping to find the next Naruto, or you're hoping to find the next Dragon Ball Z. Okay, but you still have to know what you're getting into. And interspecies reviewers, I mean, it says it in the synopsis. This is what this show is about, It's pretty high probability it was probably pretty lewd, no matter how you look at it. I still, to this day, wonder how you got prison school, so...
Yeah, I was about to say, this isn't their first rodeo. Funimation has done a lot of lewd stuff, a lot of very etchy stuff, a lot of stuff with sexual content in it. This isn't their first rodeo, so... Was it because certain people were working on this particular project that suddenly said, I don't want to do this anymore?
That comes down to...
Just find somebody else.
Obviously.
Just find somebody else. Kick him out. Find somebody else.
You're not here to make... Yeah. Never mind.
Done. Because I'm done. I'm tapping out. I'm done. Let's move on. We probably talked to death anyways. But yeah. Stupid. Moving on. Some fun news here. We have Rinsuke Oshikiri is going to be creating the story and character designs for the new Galaxy's smartphone game. Of course, I don't know. Rinsuke was the creator of High Score Girl. So
it looks
like High Score Girl. Characters look straight out of High Score Girl. So cool stuff there. They have a PB out there for it. It's basically Galaxy with a Z at the end of it, if you want to look into it. Done by Fuzz Inc. And it has gacha system. It looks like a very grid-based, old-school JRPG style to it. Very kind of 16-bit graphical design to it with, you know, fully drawn characters a la High Score Girl design style. So, interesting. Probably won't last long, like most mobile games, unless there's some group of whales out there that keep it alive. They typically do fall away pretty quickly, but good luck to them. Hopefully it's successful. I kind of wish they would just do a High Score Girl mobile game instead, or game in general. That would be cooler. Can you do that instead? But yeah, released on iOS and Android in Japan already, so if you want to check out any of that or use some kind of service to download it, do so. Moving on, we have Uzaki-chan Wants to Hang Out manga is getting an anime adaptation in July. This one's synopsis is Sakurai Shinichi's one wish is for all peace or for a little peace and quiet. But Uzaki Hana, his boisterous, well-endowed underclassmate, has other plans. All she wants to do is hang out and poke fun at him. With the help of her chipper charm and peppy persistence, this might be the start of a beautiful relationship.
You mean Genki power?
Just basically Genki, yes. Well-endowed Genki is it. I think we talked about this one before, but cool stuff. I think Seven Seas has the manga already, so if you want to get a head start on it, check it out. It's being done by Studio ENGI, and is going to be premiering in July, so be excited for that one. That's a very weird time to start. Well, that technically summer, I guess. Yeah, that'd be summer. So there you go. Summer release. We'll be looking forward to that one. Looks very, very goofy looking. Hopefully she's not too loud, Genki. Fans of Nisekoi, that one is getting a full Blu-ray release here soon. Aniplex USA has announced they will be doing the first and second season along with unaired OVAs all in a full Blu-ray set. Is set to release on April 28th for $198. Not much. It's going to be a total of 36 episodes, along with that, which includes the four unaired OVAs. And don't be looking for a dub. It will be full Japanese with English subtitles. So, Chris.
Nope. I can't afford that. I want it so bad, but there's no way I can pay $200 for that.
Maybe when I get a confirmation they can actually complete the series, I'll buy it. I'm not going to buy a show that I don't... When was the last time an episode aired of that? Like back in 2015, maybe? That'd be 2015 was probably the last episode they aired. Yeah.
Maybe we can review it.
Been too long. Heck no. I'm not getting back in the show. Not getting back in that show.
I will absolutely review the crap out of that
show. Then go buy it.
That's not what I was saying.
I'm not going to buy it so that you can watch it again. Oh. Jasmine Gyu launches a new manga, Kinshiro ni Yoroshiku, which is regards to Kinshiro. The creator, of course, is the creator behind Backstreet Girls. The listing describes the manga as a gag comedy that is also human moving work with pathos. So, there you go. Hopefully an interesting take off of from Backstreet Girls, because that show was very, very interesting. Excited for that. Excited for anything else by the creator of Backstreet Girls.
The guy, Backstreet Girls worked really well for us, so I don't see why we couldn't. Anything else they did wouldn't work. But hey, it's hit and miss on comedy sometimes.
Jasmine Guo. I don't know if that's a female creator or not.
I don't know.
I don't know. So there you go. It'd probably take a lot of the flack out of it if it was a female. Because I know that show got some flack. Let's see here. Sayonara Tiano. I'm thinking Japanese Tyranno. Sayonara Tyranno film is going to be opening in Japan in early summer. Toei announced this series, Chinese, Japanese, South Korean co-produced film. So quite a few hands in this particular series or this particular film. It's based off of Tatsuya Miyanishi's Tyrannosaurus series of children books. The cast includes Aoyuki, Shinichiro Miki, and Kaori Ishihara. And I have to point out that Aoyuki apparently is a Triceratops.
Sarah!
So all I can think of is Sarah from Land Before Time.
Totally work as Sarah.
I need to get a clip of Sarah from Land Before Time with Aoyuki's voice just randomly placed in
there.
It would
be awesome.
That I got to see that. That'll give me a vision as to what I'm to expect with Sayonara Tayano. That just got me excited. Every time I see Aoyuki's name on anything, it's like, I got to watch that now. Especially if it's a Tyrannosaur. Triceratops, sorry, not Triceratops.
Anyways. Unfortunately, her name is not Sarah. It's Tops in this one.
Well, maybe the one they dub it, they'll change it to Sarah. I don't know. And the other one's a little foot. I don't know if there's a little foot in there. That was a big children movies that we were way into. So that's where our jokes are coming from. Excited for that one.
Petrie, yeah. Punan in this one.
To Your Eternity manga is getting an anime adaptation. So for all those that are big fans of Yoshitoki Oima, who of course did Silent Voice, get to be excited for another one of their projects to get a adaptation. This one's going to be an anime TV series, apparently. So, well, I did have issues with Silent Voice becoming a movie instead of a TV series. I still loved it to death, and I think they did fine with not including content, but I would have loved it as a full length. This one apparently does technically need to, because To Your Eternity seems much longer than a Silent Voice. But yeah,
it'd be cool interesting. Stuff. I cut off on that one way too early. So
yeah, I got pretty darn far into it and then kind of lost track of it. So I think I was buying it on Amazon rather than reading them on Crunchyroll. So.
I at least got through the part that this is at least showcasing. I'll just say that.
The first story was really strong, so if they can just cover the first story, I think it'll be fantastic. Well, technically, it would probably be the first two story arcs, I think, would be a length of 12 episodes. If they get into the third arc, it's going to have a really nasty drop-off, or they're going to have to cut a lot of content. That whole prison island stuff is just a lot of content, so I don't see the prison island being part of that, but I do see the first two story arcs really fitting well as a
I got to the point where I got to the next story arc, the second story arc, and I'm not real sure
the family and the rich daughter.
I only got to the family. I don't know, and that's what I was getting ready to say. I don't know how they intertwine yet.
Each of the stories,
yeah,
it's just the intertwining is the things that the creature itself adapts to and evolves with, and the evolution of his emotions. It's really seems to be the long story that goes through it. And of course you have the outside story of the alien that's fighting it.
I was getting ready to say, spoiler, was the alien, and then it goes into...
It could be an alien. I don't think
I'm assuming it's an alien.
So far.
I don't know that
scientific
it is.
Experiment.
Something happened
there. Who knows?
I'm
not going to say.
That creature thing was one of the people in the second one, right?
Yeah.
Okay. See, I wasn't really sure how the became.
How far you've gotten into it, so.
Yeah, I only know that there's people in the second arc. That's all.
Yeah. Well, there's people in the first arc, too. Just one person.
Well, yeah.
Anyways, that's sidetrack there. Not really technically a sidetrack, but yeah, for those that know, quick synopsis, a lonely boy wandering the Arctic regions of North America meets a wolf, and the two become fast friends, depending on each other's to survive the harsh environments. But the boy has a history, and the wolf is more than meets the eye as well. To Your Eternity is a totally unique and moving manga about death, life, reincarnation, and nature of love. Which technically fits it all. Hopefully I'll hear soon. I'll get back into it. But very interesting departure from Yoshitoki's previous work with the Silent Voice. That's for sure. That is for sure. Moving on. Some sad news. It's so funny. I totally had to throw Chris this trailer and say, please tell me at what point you get angry, because I got angry watching this trailer.
Well, all I got through was when it popped up that it was Trigger or something like that. And I was like, why would there ever be anything that I would be mad about this? And then I was like, oh, no, this is going to be Trigger, or this is going to be Netflix, isn't it?
Yeah. Spoiler. Yeah. Official site for Trigger has posted a promo for the new series BNA, or Brand New Animal. This one, of course, as Chris alluded to, is a Trigger show and will be stuck on Netflix, streaming exclusively in spring. So we'll probably see it in December or something like that, I guess. The synopsis in the anime story in the 21st century, the existence of animal humans came to light after being hidden in the darkness of history. Michiru lived life as a normal human until one day she suddenly turns into a Tanuki human. She runs away and takes refuge in a special city area called Anima City that was set up 10 years ago for animal humans to be able to live as themselves. There, Michiru meets Shiro, a wolf human who hates humans. Through Shiro, Michiru starts to learn about the worries, lifestyle, and joys of the animal humans. As Michiru and Shiro try to learn why Michiru's suddenly turn into an animal human, they unexpectedly get wrapped up in a large incident. Whew, that's a long synopsis, Trigger. But yeah, it looks fantastic. It's probably the first time I've seen a Trigger trailer and got, like, instantly sold. Most people know I'm not the hugest Trigger fan. Chris is the resident Trigger fan. So it takes a lot for me to really kind of get grabbed onto something done by Trigger. And this one definitely, just by the trailer, looks a lot of fun. It looks full of just kind of jumps and turns and everything in there. Definitely excited for it. And can't beat, you know, Tanuki Girl. It's always good, too. I think her seiyuu sounds extremely familiar, too. So I think that's another reason why I'm kind of gravitating towards it. I couldn't
think you got the wrong one.
Did I? That's a dude. That is definitely not her.
I think she's up
wolf
there.
Wolf human, Tanuki human. I'm looking for the Tanuki human. Annabelle Crame from Little Witch Academia. Interesting. Might have been by miracle, because we just recently watched that. Chifuru's twin sister. I don't know. Anyways, yeah.
I would say
Emma. There it is. Emma from Neverland. That's who I was getting. Emma from The Promised Neverland. That's who I'm recognizing her. So, yeah. I've just beaten to death. Thank you, Netflix, as always, for fantastic work streaming stuff. Moving on. Shirobako Film has released a trailer with Dun 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 Fauna doing the theme song. So, to continue our, oh no, Fauna. The Fauna curse, will it hit Shirobako movie? I just want Shirobako movie already. It's been way too long coming. The trailer previews a story in which Marukawa announces that Masashino Animation's original project, Time Hippopotamus, has been canceled. However, a project proposal to another original film titled Kuchi Kyoshu Yori Kukan Siva, or Aerial Assault Landing Ship Siva, arrives at Masashino Animation. So, yeah. Excited for more Shirobako? You finished the last one, right?
Yes.
Okay. You're making sure. I think that was one that I had. Chris, you're watching this. That was one that we nearly passed that one up. That was kind of surprising.
It was really more, for me, it was more.
The first core was overwhelming. Very stressful.
It was overwhelming reaction to it. It was one of those. It's just like a show this season. The more reaction, the more you kind of feel like you have to go back and just give it its due. Whether or not you like it or not, you have to give it its due. And this was one of those shows that I was very happy I went back to.
Well, it's funny because when the first season or the first core of it aired, I remember we technically dropped it. I remember my biggest hang on it was, this is doing a very kind of real portrayal of a work environment. And I didn't want to watch a stressful work environment when I was in a stressful work environment at the time. And so I was like, I don't want to watch this because it's literally, I come home from work where I'm stressed and I watch a show that's about work stress. And it's like, I don't want to watch that. And I guess that's a tribute to what we always talk about. Like, why isn't there enough adult anime shows? Like, because probably there's a lot of people like me where they come home from work and they're like, I don't want to watch a workful stress environment after I come home from work. But yeah, it was that later the second core moment, which if you watch the show, you know what I'm talking about, that everybody blew up about. And I was like, oh, crap, something happened in the show. I'm afraid I'm going to see a spoiler. I got to watch this. And I just binge watched it. And I got to that part and I'm like, holy crap, they were right. Oh my gosh, this is an incredible show. So, yeah, glad to see it's getting more. It was definitely one of those ones where we're really not sure if it would ever get any more content. So getting a movie would be fantastic, even if I would just love more cores.
They have to, because there are certain things that have to happen that have not happened yet in that story.
Like?
The entire team coming together, yeah. Too.
The original promise, I guess, technically was never. They got close.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, the original Dun Dun Donuts promise did not get Dun Dun Dun. That was bad. I'm sorry. That was really bad. I'm sorry. Moving on, we have Children of Whales manga is nearing its climax. So, Yumida, who was the mangaka originally, claimed that the upcoming Demoness past arc was supposed to bring the manga story to a close or tap to the last chapter, but that has changed the plan and moved towards the ending being further in the story. I think they mentioned something about, at some point, they were suggesting that it would be done in 4 chapters, but since it actually seen success, they were able to continue the story they wanted to tell, essentially. So, yeah, that's one that I would just love to see more of the anime, because as we kind of joked about earlier, that one was one of those ones where, like, the last 2 episodes was literally them saying, here's all this other stuff that we could talk about, but we're not going to talk about it because we're ending right now, which sucks. Because I love the world they were building in that series. If you have not watched the anime, another one that's dying on Netflix and will never have a physical release, very beautiful, very cool world they built. Just, unfortunately, episode constraints, not enough exploring of that wonderful world they kind of created. So, do you ever plan on watching that one? I think I'd kind of scared you away from it.
Yeah, you did.
And this whole thing where, like, everybody gets slaughtered, that never makes Chris want to watch it. High Dive is streaming is it Wrong to Pick Up Girl in the Dungeon season 2?
Let's go to that right now.
Says Bell and the gang found themselves in a hot spring at the end of the last adventure, and this time they're ready for a little R&R at the beach. Hestia, Lily, and Haruhime waste no time trying to win Bell over with their charms and run into an unexpected competition once Eyes crashes the party. However, this usually stoic sword maiden is acting surprisingly carefree. Ooh. Yeah, we kind of mentioned the fact that season 2 is surprisingly without any fan service. So I guess they decided to save it for the OVA. Yeah. We haven't even watched the other OVA yet. The one that has, like, the most lewdest version of Hestia on the cover of it. But, yeah, that's another one. That's one that kind of slipped through the cracks. Slept through the cracks. I don't know what I'm saying. Cool stuff. More exciting news. I'm liking this this continued progression of the Satoshi Kon stuff. G-Kids and Fathom Events announced they have plans to screen Tokyo Godfathers in U.S. theaters on March 9th. That's for the subtitle version of the dub will be with a new dub on March 11th. And they have also previously announced that they will be doing a 4K restoration on the film. So I'm kind of wondering, can we get a 4K Blu-ray release, maybe? Don't have many anime in 4K. I have literally one. I would like more. I wonder if that's one of those ones where they possibly have the contents to actually do a proper 4K resolution adaptation, or if it's one of those ones where they're just going to upscale it and clean it up. Curious.
Don't know, but I want to watch it.
Yeah, that's another one that's like, even though everybody says every Christmas that you have to watch Tokyo Godfathers and Toradora, haven't got a chance to watch Tokyo Godfather yet, which is surprising because it is one that I really want to watch because it's Satoshi Kon. So yeah, more Satoshi Kon news in a bit, but yes, hopefully we'll continue to get my collection of Satoshi Kon Blu-rays continuing on because I want a full complete Blu-ray list of them. So
my reason isn't particularly that it's Satoshi Kon, but because it's Tokyo Godfathers, which I've heard is absolutely an amazing story. So
because Satoshi Kon.
Okay. and name one show of Satoshi Kon that I've watched.
It's Dying Crying Shame, Chris.
Okay, so
Paranoid Agent, nothing. Perfect Blue.
None of them.
Millennium Actress.
None of them.
Sad. We're going to watch Millennium Actress here soon because I got the Blu-ray finally. I do want to buy it. I haven't bought Perfect Blue on Blu-ray yet. I need to do that too. Well, they haven't done a full release of it yet again. I don't know. I think
Tokyo Godfathers is the only one that I've actually... The other ones I've heard occasionally, but Tokyo Godfathers is absolutely the one that everybody is insistent that it's an absolute must.
I think most people that I hear talk about Satoshi Kon is either they talk about Perfect Blue or Millennium Actress. Only the older fans mention Paranoia Agent. But that was technically the first one we technically got, I think, was Paranoia Agent. I don't think we ever got the movies until way later. I don't remember. It's a long time ago. Anyways, G-Kids and Fathom Entertainment, Fathom Events. I'm doing the same damn thing. Original Anime Listeners releases more info and cast in its promo video via their official website. I literally get nothing on this information except for what little visuals we get from the PV. And it looks interesting.
Somebody's plugging something into their back. That's what I got out of it.
Very, rundown world looking. MAPPA is a big thing. Having MAPPA's name on there is interesting enough.
Very, creative style. Very weird character art. So
yeah. Very bandish. Maybe we'll get like a rundown post-apocalyptic / Carol on Tuesday thing going on. I don't know. It looks very, very interesting. So, and of course, being an original series always catches my interest. But apparently we'll be learning more when they do the live thing, which I technically they already did the live talk on it. So, yeah, we'll see. I'm interested with what little we've seen. Hopefully we'll get more visuals of it here soon. Rie Takahashi's in there as well, which is always a plus. Hopefully we'll get another knockout like Carol on Tuesday was. Yeah. My Romantic Comedy Snafu Season 3 is set to premiere on April 9th, so just want to throw that in there because I love Romantic Comedy Snafu, and it cannot come any sooner. Interesting thing for those who are big fans of Vinland Saga, the anime series, I did really enjoy it. Apparently they put a promo special video on the website for the manga with clips of the very end of Vinland Saga's first season. But also at the very end of the promo or the special video, they had a very quick snippet of a future arc. So a lot of people speculating, does that mean, was that just them saying, thanks for watching the show? Here's a big nod off, or, you know, a quick nod before we, you know, move on. Or was it a teaser to possibly a second season? I would love more. That'd be great. Please. please animate more of it. That would be fantastic. For those that are not familiar with the series or didn't watch all the way through it, do not look up that promo video because it does technically spoil the entire ending of the first season. So you have been warned. Excited for more Vinland Saga, Chris?
Yes,
for cool. You. Yes, for Andrew. Very quickly, Crunchyroll is currently streaming the dubs for Thamai, Romai, the Ancient Magus' Bride, New Game, and Anohana. So if you are dub watching fan, tons of new content popping up on Crunchyroll right now for dubs, so be excited. Crunchyroll is also releasing the director's cut of ReZero Anime, which is currently apparently airing in Japan. It is an edited version of the 25 episodes to fit 1 hour time slots. So they do say that there is reworked episodes and new footage. I've heard from a few people that said that some people say it doesn't have much in there. Some people say it seems to make more sense in some regards. Check it out if you will. I think it's a pretty solid way of kind of recapping before second season coming up.
That's what I would do. Just wait until the second season comes up.
Literally next season.
Next season.
I think so. I think next season, right? I think. Maybe. Yes, the person that's listening to us has confirmed or denied. Thank you for telling us one way or the other. I don't know which one it is.
It's you. You're the one.
Right there.
Right there. Yes, you're the one. Thank you.
You're the one. Not the person next to you. Put your hand down. Funimation and Crunchyroll is streaming Fate Grand Order Moonlight Lustrum anime special. This is kind of an interesting kind of side story, kind of like I forget what it was called, a little bit more insight into Mash and some of the characters that were part of the Chaldea before everything kind of went to crap. So, a little bit more insights into who Mash is, too, so that's kind of cool. Always like that. I haven't watched the full thing yet. I've only seen clips of it. I didn't know they actually had it on Crunchyroll, so I gotta take some time to go watch it later. I think it's only like 23
Your
minutes.
Your app practically screamed at you. You needed to go and watch it on Crunchyroll.
No, I forgot that part. Was not paying attention. let's see here. The new Gundam Hathaway film project has released an English subtitle trailer, so if you are a big fan of Gundam, you probably already know this, and you're telling me, yeah, what's new? But it's cool stuff.
I think this is something exciting, isn't it?
Yes.
It's a character we like, isn't it?
No, I do not like that character.
We don't?
No.
Maybe the name stands out really a whole lot because we don't like him.
Yes, that's exactly for me. He did something really stupid, got somebody killed, and I really hated him. But yeah, there he is. No, but I was really curious to this because this was one of those ones where as we got more into the Gundams, I started talking to a lot of the Gundam fans, a lot of the things that I heard about criticisms of the Gundam series as a whole is there's a lot of novels and stuff that they've never brought to the West. And to have one of those novels have a anime adaptation that looks incredible is fantastic. Like I said, I'm not a huge fan of Hathaway. Hopefully this will give me a cool story to him.
Was he the kid that but kept going back and forth?
I think so. Yes, he was, because he was kind of...
He couldn't make up his mind if he was
That was part of his story, was kind of his developments. Well, it is technically a part of this story, is his developments about his experience with Amuro and Char. So, but the big question that we will have going into the series is, can we see Hathaway reveal him inheriting the Bright Slap? Because Bright Sun. Get it?
He doesn't get the Bright Slap.
He doesn't get the Bright Slap.
He does not get the Bright Slap. He does not deserve the Bright Slap.
We didn't get a Bright Slap.
The Bright Slap is distinguished. You have to be of a certain level.
Maybe he'll get Bright Slaps in Hathaway.
Very likely.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can receive the Bright Slap, but you cannot give the Bright Slap.
You cannot give the Bright Slap. You cannot inherit the Bright Slap. You can have all my money, boy. You can have my skills and my genes, but you cannot have my slap. You can receive my slap across your face, but you cannot inherit my slap. Anyways, that's an inside joke that we're definitely killing. So yeah, Hathaway Noah. Looking forward to the new film about him that I know nothing about. And I probably stated some wrong things there. Don't yell at me, Gundam fans. Cool stuff, though. Moving on. We have Kuma Kuma, Kuma Bear. Light novel is getting an anime adaptation. So look forward to more VR MMO anime about cute girls. Because this is one of them.
It's a VR MMO game. I gotcha. I thought it was a VR show. I was starting to get concerned.
No. 15-year-old Yuna prefers staying home and obsessively playing her favorite VR MMO game to doing nothing else, including going to school. When a strange new update gives her a one-of-a-kind bear outfit that comes with overpowered abilities, gotta have that in these VR MMO animes, Yuna is torn. The outfit is unbearably cute. Get what they did there?
Mm-hmm.
But too embarrassing to wear in-game. But then she suddenly finds herself transported into the world of the game, facing down monsters and magic for real. And the bear suit becomes the best weapon she has.
She decides that it's the greatest one.
She kind of has like a whole like Cerberus thing going on, like from Rage of Bahamut with the two mm-hmm. bears in the hands thing. But yeah,
she is adorable.
You know, want your fill of, you know, no game, no life type girl that plays games all the time, and there you go. OP. Cool stuff. She does look cute though. I like the designs of the stuff in here. Let's see here. Tatsuki and Iridori's anime version of Hentatsu began airing on TV slots in Japan as shorts. So, cool to see Tatsuki getting another adaptation of his airing on television in Japan. These shorts are airing at about 11:57 p.m. every Saturday. So, hopefully, eventually, I don't know if they're going to put it on their YouTube channel. That'd be great. Hopefully with subtitles. Somebody possibly do that so we can watch all that. I don't know how many episodes they're going to end up doing, but that's pretty cool. And it looks like they're actually doing a lot better. Like every time I see another one of their works, it seems like they're getting better and better. Just a lot of the motion and movement is getting a lot better for them. So
a lot more movement.
Yeah. A lot less stiffness to it. So there you go. Oh, here's probably the biggest news that's been happening in the last few months. Yeah. 07th expansion and Kadokawa has announced a new anime project for Higurashi When They Cry. Excited?
I don't know.
Can you do Higurashi now?
I don't know.
I haven't seen any positive confirmation on if this will be a reboot, reanimation, recreation. I'm assuming it's going to be a complete reboot. Or not a reboot. It wouldn't be reboot. Because reboot would mean they change something. Remake. I'm assuming it's going to be a complete remake of the series. Because I don't see what they would do, like, continuing it. Even though they could pull whatever they want out of their butts, because that's technically how a lot of the seasons felt. But a complete redoing of the original series, I would love, because that was one of the better parts of the entire thing. Wasn't a huge fan of the second season. In the later parts of it, I think I kind of fell off. So
the second season, all it did was explain what was going on.
Sort of. It's just really an outside perspective. Technically, you could know what was going on. It's just that was an outside perspective of it, which was incredibly boring because it was a lot of just like, here's newsprints and information and let's question everybody. Very detective kind of thing. So very wordy. Not much happening. But yeah, Akio Watanabe of Monogatari series will be doing the character designs. Will be being produced at Studio Passione. Suichiro Hoshi and Mai Nakahara will be reprising their roles as Keiichi and Reina. So returning voices is always cool there. But yeah, I'm definitely, I'm super excited. Incredibly excited. Hopefully they don't destroy it. But there's a PV out there. Doesn't really show much. Just a lot of kind of the old artwork and stuff with some new artwork. There you go. Hopefully do like a really cool remake, but keeping faithful to the original OP, because the original OP was fantastic. fantastic. So maybe that's going to be the OP for this episode. We'll see.
I don't know. I don't even know if I can. Because there is a side of me that really, really, I do have a lot of love for that show, and
especially that part where she puts the knife against the wall and stabs herself.
No, that's not. No, I don't even want to think about that. Okay, come on.
My or the part point, where they clip the nails off?
Stop. I hate this show. I don't want to watch it. I never want to watch it ever again.
Or the whole bat scene.
No, I don't. I don't even want to think about it.
Oh, the food she brings him with the needles in it. That was your favorite part, wasn't it? No, that was a few. Like the one part that I really remember a lot is like the later part where he kind of immediately realizes the kind of the hook of the show. I guess I'll just say that. I don't really want to spoil things, even though it's a really old show. There is a hook to the show that happens. And he realizes that hook and realizes everything he's technically done to people. And he starts apologizing for it. And I was like, holy crap. That's like one of those moments where you have that everything kind of floods into him and he realizes, crap, I've done some really terrible things. It was really cool. So,
well, there's aspects to it. It's like everything that I can think back on is all cringe moments. I mean, yes, the hook is like one of the coolest things about this series is what the entire thing is really about. Once you get through all the cringe moments, quote unquote, is really a really cool concept, and they really pulled it off with that show. So yeah, and that, but like I'm saying, is all those cringe moments makes me want to go, do I really want to watch this again? Because it really is one of those torture shows where you're literally going, oh, this is not right. You're wanting to scrape the skin off of your arms because it's just that bad.
I thought you were saying cringe like it was like cringy, like not horrific cringy, but like goofy cringy.
No, this is horrific. It's horrific. I don't know why. Like, you are really, like Andrew was saying, that a person putting a knife and stabbing themselves in a not making a lot of sense how they're doing it. But hey, that's what they're doing.
Being driven by fear of living is what it was, Chris. Let's see here. Crunchyroll has added Cabinary of the Iron Fortress compilation anime films to its catalog, so if you don't want to watch the entire series, you can just watch the films. Do not go into expecting they have improvements done to it, because it is just a compilation of the TV series. I kind of skimmed through it to see if they kind of improved certain parts that I thought were a little bit under-animated, but they didn't really change much, which it wasn't a hugely on it. There wasn't really a lot of bad-looking parts of it. There was just like a few points that I really remember that were kind of like, yeah, they could have done it a little better, and they didn't really change anything. So I don't expect new stuff there. So yeah, cool stuff that's there though. My sad news of this particular episode, even though there's plenty, Funimation is exclusively streaming Satoshi Kon's Paranoia Agent. So Andrew finally gets his Paranoia Agent. But it's on Funimation's platform, and Funimation will be doing the Blu-ray release. Please don't screw it up. Roberts, come on, girl. User experience. Please. Good Blu-ray. Please. We'll see. But please do a good Blu-ray release of it, because they are doing a Blu-ray release of it in 2020. So hopefully they do a proper job of it, and I can get a fantastic release of Paranoia Agent, because that's the other Satoshi Kon show that I want. So they got Perfect Blue, got Millennium Actress, got hopefully Tokyo Godfather does it. They do a release of that 4K. Then Funimation will release Satoshi Kon's Paranoia Agent, and I will have, I think, all of the ones that I've been wanting. I think that there's something else I'm forgetting.
Paprika.
What's Paprika, though?
I'm assuming somebody has it.
No, I'm saying, was that Satoshi Kon?
Yeah. Says it.
I thought you right said there. You don't know anything about Satoshi Kon.
It says it right there. Oh,
you're looking at that right there. Okay, I got you. Did some Joseph's Bizarre Adventure. Yeah, Perfect Blue.
Jinro was one that I've wanted to watch too.
Very rough ending. Not like bad. Just bad for Chris, rough ending.
Well, I can see
well, a lot that. Of that is. It's
well, that's what I was under the impression yeah. that all of his stuff was that it was all... Except for the ones that, like I said...
He's a lot of psychological horror. Yes. Yeah. A lot of psychological horror. Yeah, Paprika, Paranoid Agent, Tokyo Godfathers, Millennium Actress. He wasn't credited for Jinro. What else did he direct? Let's see. Perfect Blue. Oh, so he didn't do Rosen Z. He was a background designer, layouts, and key animators. So it was just those ones. Perfect Blue, Millennium Actress, Tokyo Godfathers, Paranoid Agent, Paprika. That's it. So, yeah. Almost got them all. Thankfully, yes. See, they're listening to me. I complained for like 4 years, and then like ever since like a couple years ago, they suddenly out of nowhere, they're just boom, 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 boom. So I could not be happier because his stuff finally needs some recognition for these days. So there you go. Toonami is changing their programming block to 3 hours length, down from 5.5 to 6 hours, claiming that it's getting too expensive and unwieldy to handle. And they tone it back to its preferred length for broadcasting in 3 hours for a while. So, unfortunate for Toonami watchers. The website for Hachinante Sore wa Nai Desho has announced that a new anime adaptation. The title is The Eighth Son, Are You Kidding Me? The novel story centers around Shingo Ichinomiya, a normal average employee for a trading company. He wakes up one day to find himself inhabiting the body of Wendelin, a 5-year-old boy, and the eighth son of the destitute family in a fantasy world. So, interesting. Interesting. Don't know why, but I'm getting Senna Bookward vibes. We shall see if he becomes an OP character that saves the fantasy world. But until then, we shall wait. Interesting at all?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Yui Horie, Koichi Yamada's... Yamadera, to join My Hero Academia cast as La Brava and Gentle Criminal. So that's really cool. Always love Yui Horie's work. Of course, he was... Hanekawa and Monogatari series, Shaoru and Fairy Tail and Anna and K series. I think also Miss Monochrome? Yeah?
Yeah, sounds right.
It's a favorite for Chris.
You, who are you? Yeah.
Koichi Yamadera is Spike of Cowboy Bebop, Koichi from Lupin the Third, Kaji from Evangelion, and Sokoroku from Shogun Roku Rakugo Senju, so... Interesting looking
character. It's got the tiniest character in the world.
Interesting designs. As usual. After I just gave him crap like last season's review about character designs looking samey, and suddenly out of nowhere, like all these weird looking characters. So always good. Sentence of a Bookworm Part 2 ad reveals April 4th start date and 12 episodes. And I'd like to point out, without spoiling things, she is wearing a certain robe. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Kind of see that coming, but... cannot be more excited. They are also getting a 2-episode OVA as part of a limited edition novel release March 10th.
Bigger, more important thing that needed to be pointed out was that...
The end doesn't say Netflix on it?
No.
The end of the video doesn't say Netflix on it?
I seen it. She was holding one. I thought for sure she was holding it.
Holding what?
A book.
Oh.
Thought I seen her holding a book. Maybe that was just that. Oh, I thought I seen her holding a book.
Yes. Yeah, they have a 2-episode OVA coming out for the limited edition novel release on March 10th. The 2 episodes is called A House Call to Miss Colina and Yostuk's Master Plan for Downtown Infiltration. Hopefully we will see those over here, please. I think they're technically supposed to just be side stories, so I don't think it's going to hurt not watching them. It shows her with one in her hand.
She's holding a book there.
That could be fake, though. That could just be an out. That could just be a cover. It could just be a cover. But, yeah. Exciting stuff. definitely looking forward to that. I think there's going to be a lot of play off of the idea that the commoners are going to be mad at her because she's wearing that robe.
Probably.
So, yeah, more great stuff. Cannot wait. Art TV second promo shows an April 4th debut for the series. For those who don't know, this one is 16th century Firenze, Italy. One girl, one artistic ambition, the birthplace of the Renaissance era, where art is thriving. In one small corner of the vast city, one sheltered girl's journey begins. She dreams of becoming an artist, an impossible career for a girl born into a noble family. In those days, art is exclusively male profession. I think we talked about this already.
Mm-hmm. Sounds familiar.
But with a woman facing strong discrimination, in spite of all these challenges, art perseveres with work, hard work, and with positivity. That's art with an E at the end. Arte. Arton. I don't know. That's probably pretty. Yeah. So yeah, more visuals of it. Looks pretty cool. I'm kind of pretty optimistic about that one. That's another one of those ones coming in the spring era that's going to be massive. So I don't know. I kind of have this dark inside of me that says, I want this to fail so I have more time for the other millions of shows. But it does look really good, so I'm kind of iffy on the art style, but I think I can get used to it. A lot of it looks really fantastic. So yeah, there you go. Quickly, Yen Press licenses Fiance of the Wizard manga, and Seven Seas has licensed Made in Abyss anthology book. Let's see, I already talked about that one. Kind of technically already talked about that one. And yeah, Final Fantasy Remake has been delayed till April 10th, which really sucks.
I'm more annoyed by the fact that it's exclusive to PlayStation until 2021.
Why is that?
Because it should be for everybody. Everybody should have Final Fantasy VII.
They will get it.
The entire world should have access to it.
Just tell me exactly why that bothers you.
Because everybody should have it.
You just want it on the Switch.
It's yes, not, I want it on my Switch.
It's not
going to
release on the Switch. Well, I'll eat those words in like 3 years, but if they didn't put Final Fantasy 15 on it, I doubt they're going to put Final Fantasy 7 on it. They just put that crappy mobile version of it on the Switch.
That crappy mobile version.
I heard it wasn't that bad, technically. It's just...
It doesn't matter. It looks like crap. It looks garbage. I don't want it.
But you don't like that old school Final Fantasy VII look sprites character designs?
No.
That old school Final Fantasy VII character designs with the polygon fat characters?
No.
I was going to talk about my D&D experiences in California, but I guess I can hold off on that because we're kind of running along. Let me see if I can find one question to do.
Speaking of which, I think we're getting kind of close to running out of questions if y'all want to dump some more questions on there.
I always accept more questions. Well, let's do the first, next one up. We have BlueBlue96 says, so I got a hypothetical question for you. Say you've won the lottery and you had an untold amount of money. You decide that you want to either create your own anime. What kind of anime would it be? Or use your money to continue a series that you have not yet always wanted to complete out but never did. If so, which one? Lastly, if you were to decide to make your own anime, who would your dream team be if you could pick a studio, director, audio team, voice actors, or other needed components from any anime production? What would it be? First time questioning here. Appreciate you guys and keep up the good work. Thank you so much for your kind words. It's easy. Can we just get the easy one out of the way?
Oh, the
complete remake and full adaptation of Spice and Wolf?
Yeah, that's pretty easy.
That's an easy one.
Mayu is my other one.
I would like a full redo and completion of Claymore. I think I've done that one before, too. ReZero was an easy one, but that finally got continuation. I think that was another big one that we always brought up.
The Grimgar Fantasy and Ash.
Yeah, I'd like to see Grimgar Fantasy and Ash completed.
Now, this is that's the automatic answer because that's the easy one for what you pretty much say there. But if you're giving me an untold amount of money, I have ideas to take over the entire Western industry. Because I think I've got a way to knock out Funimation, Crunchyroll, knock them all out. And maybe I'll tell this to you later. But yeah, if I had an untold amount of money, that's exactly what I'd do. Knock them all out.
There you go.
Because I know. I figured it out. I is smarts.
This is idea I got.
This is an idea. Unfortunately, don't have any resources to do it.
You'll put out a show, and then you'll put this file. I think I want to call it a Turna. And you'll give Turnas to everybody, and they'll download from you, and then they will then seed to somebody else, and then everybody will have access to the show without having to stream it.
Ideas. I'm telling you.
Nobody has ever thought of this. Oh, anyways.
But no, if I had the ability, I could get some programmers together, I think that I have the solution to all of our problems.
There you go. Questram says, a couple questions if you find yourselves interested in discussing them. One, do you prefer watching anime alone or with others? Does your preference differ depending on the series? I enjoy watching shows that are more, I guess, require a lot of attention and have, like, really drawn-out explanations alone, because if anybody's in the room not pointing at any way specific and they fidget, it distracts me and I want to focus on the show. And usually shows that are, like, more, I guess, talking in depth about things, I need the more focus on these days. But typically comedies, you can't beat watching comedy with somebody that you know enjoys a comedy too. So the comedies, cute girls doing cute things, I really do enjoy watching those with Chris, because I think we do kind of bounce off each other when we find things funny.
I do. I know that it sounds like, because of my aversion towards dark stuff, I do like shows that make me think. And that's one of the frustrating things, is I find a lot of the shows that are more interesting and go into deeper concepts tend to be in the darker side. So yeah, I tend to like, as far as it having that somebody to talk to about the more,
yeah,
when you got a show like Game of Thrones, for lack of a better term, that was a great way for me and Andrew to just go back and forth on, what do you think if this person is doing this or that person's doing that? And it's interesting to do that kind of stuff when you have a show that's deep like that. But yeah, having a show that you can just poke fun at and have fun goofing off, that is just a million times better when you have somebody to talk to.
We need to watch Psyche K. I seen that on Netflix the other day, and I'm like, crap, we really do need to get back to watch that one. Because we had a lot of fun laughing about Psyche K. But no, I agree that it's frustrating with a lot of those more serious shows that do get critical gruesome. Babylon was a recent example of that. I was like, I technically really want to talk Chris about that, but I wasn't sure what certain things he'd want to kind of sit through, even though we kind of joked about it when I actually recorded the review for it, which I haven't posted yet. But I ended up showing one scene to him because I wasn't sure if he was ever going to watch it, and he ended up actually being okay with it. And I'm like, but you don't get the context of why it sucks.
Yeah,
but
that was one of those things. It's like, yes, if I cared about the character, it probably would have been a million times worse. But yeah, I would have been cringing like crazy.
I couldn't imagine reviewing Made in Abyss if Chris dropped off of that show. Like, the whole gruesome crap that happened later on, it's like, thankfully it kept with it, because it's those really kind of dark shows that I'm really frustrated that he doesn't watch as well, because I really want to talk about them with certain aspects of them. But technically, with a lot of those shows, if we don't watch it together, one of us can fall off one of them, or one of the other one can fall off of it if we don't watch it separately alone. So that's why we usually kind of pick all the main key ones to watch together, because that makes us kind of focus on finishing those and we don't get sidetracked and forget.
And we are usually pretty okay with if we go, yeah, I kind of really want to talk about this show, the other person will go and back and watch it.
Second question is for minimalists who are on the minimalist side. How can one support the anime industry without purchasing physical merchandise? Buying goods imported from Japan. That's pretty much the only way that I anymore suggest. Like, technically, subscriptions on Crunchyroll, yeah, they do get quite a bit of money to buy the licenses to stream them. I think anymore, when we talk about how the anime industry makes its money, we lean more for, like, live shows, stage plays, voice actor seiyuu meets, merchandise that they sell in Japan. Over here, there isn't really many ways that we can directly fund them the full dollar that we're giving them. Like, anything you get over here and you throw $100 bill down the table, very little of that gets back to the actual creators of the anime. If you want to support them, it's more the source material, it's stuff like that that's really going to kind of get back to the creators themselves. So like I said, the main way that I can see that you get full fulfillment out of, because I think unless you know Japanese, you're not going to want to buy the Blu-rays from Japan, you're not going to want to buy the manga from Japan, you're not going to buy the light novels because they're not really translated. But, and there's some cases where that is. You can find some Blu-rays that do have English subtitles, and that all the power to you to buy them. They're very expensive. But I think the most tangible way that you can probably get something out of it is things like figures, merch on sites like AmiAmi, stuff like that is probably the best way that I can see. And of course, like I said, streaming legally, but it's really streaming on Crunchyroll and stuff is really only supporting those sites to put more money into the industry, because your direct watching of a show isn't really affecting them. It's more because Crunchyroll and these other sites exist, they pump more money into the anime industry, which would not normally get pumped into it. So that's the only reason why we really kind of support it. Crowdfunding campaigns are great too. So if you see, like, Nakarpado did one, I think Trigger did one at some point, I think, right? Yeah, they did it for the second Little Witch Academia movie, or OVA. So if you ever see them doing those, support them that way as well. Spice and Wolf did one for the Spicy Tales for the new Spice and Wolf thing. Look for those crowdfunding campaigns. You can often, unless they're a crowdsourcing Japan specific thing, you can in most cases support them through those crowdfunding sites. So anything else for you?
No, you pretty much covered everything.
No, there you go. All right, we got two questions in there. We'll get a lot more questions through next episode, because like I said, we had a lot of catching up to do with the news. So we'll probably, I'm kind of thinking there's a possibility I might do my decade anime list next week. We'll see. But we'll do some more discussions following week after that. So look forward to that. Thanks, guys, for the questions. Sorry we missed them this time around. We will get them next time around. Thanks, as always, for supporting us and for listening. We hope you guys enjoyed this run through of the news. That seems important to us, so it should be important to you because it's important to us. And as usual, go to otakuspirit.com. Up top there, you can find our links to most of our stuff, including our forums, social media links on the right side there, and all that good stuff. And you all take care.
Oh.